You don't just want financial advice. You want to build skills, discover tips, hacks, and strategies to help master your finances in easy, bite-sized pieces. This is 30 Minute Money.
Welcome back to 30 Minute Money, the podcast that delivers action-oriented smart money ideas in little bite-sized pieces, recorded at Rockvox Recording and Production in Rochester, New York. Joining me, certified financial planner and all-around great guy, Steve Wershing from Focused Wealth Advisors.
The luxurious Rockvox Studio.
We're luxurious.
Let's make sure we get that in there. Hi, Scott. Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you too, Steve. So a lot of folks are talking about recession.
It's on everybody's lips.
Everybody's
talking about recession.
So what can we do
to
prepare for that?
Well, let's back up a minute first and just talk a little bit about what it is and that kind of stuff, because there's some confusion around that. You know, what you can do is pretty straightforward, and we'll talk about that. But first, let's talk about what a recession is and why it's a boogeyman for so many different people. So a recession, and there's some confusion around it now, because the sort of shorthand for recession is, oh, we've got two down quarters. We've got two quarters where the gross domestic product went down. And a lot of people a few months ago were saying, well, we've had two down quarters. Why isn't it a recession yet? And it's because in reality, the recession, what a recession is a little bit more nuanced than that. And there's a little bit more, you know, there's a little bit more mystery around it. So the National Bureau of Economic Research is the government organization that actually declares recessions. And it's not quite so easy as two down quarters. So they define it as a significant decline in economic activity that's spread across the economy and that lasts more than a few months. So it's a little squishy, it's a little vague, and that's why it caused confusion, because people thought, okay, two down quarters, it's not quite that simple. But it's confusing because everybody thought, oh, well, we're in a recession, so we're ready to come out of a recession. But in reality, if you look at many of the economic statistics over the course of the past 6 months, we have not been in a recession.
That's what I was going to say.
Exactly.
I've seen reports about unemployment down, and there's a lot more jobs and all that kind of stuff.
So. That's right. Corporate earnings are up. You know, when people, when so many people are working and when there's so much profit being made in corporations, that's not a recession. You know, we might have inflation, and that might hurt when you go to the grocery store. But And I think it's important to point that out, because, you know, when you really do have a recession, when you've got more than just a few months of widespread decreased economic activity, it feels bad. It's a malaise, you know. It's understanding when a recession is actually happening can be useful, because you might have thought we had a recession and that was no big deal, but we didn't have one.
Right.
And so it's probably not going to be as comfortable when we do. We care about when we're really in a recession, because it has a number of effects that could affect you directly and could affect your financial plan. First is, in a recession, typically unemployment goes up. Or is up. So the job market is not as good in a recession. That's one of the reasons that people feel bad when we're in a recession, is because some of their friends are not working, or maybe they lost a job. And, you know, we've got 3.5-4% unemployment. That's not a recession. When we have one, it will be higher, and chances are we will not be as optimistic about it. We will not be as sunny about it. Now, another thing that gets people feeling down is the stock market, because as we build up to a recession, it's typically gone down a bit. That part we've got already, right? So that part, this year has not been good for the stock market, but that's just one of the many pieces. So that one, that piece is in place for a recession. But many, you know, keep in mind that stock market declines don't happen at the same time as recession typically. The stock market is a leading indicator. So when the market goes down, that's one thing that could suggest that we are headed for a recession. We've got lots of things that suggest it now. Stock market's one of them, but the stock market going down is one of those things. We care about when a recession is actually coming, because it can be triggered by the government trying to fight inflation, and inflation has been a big deal, right? The numbers that came out last week are that inflation was running at an annualized 8.2% in September. It was 9% as recently as June. But Scott, you and I are sitting here on Halloween, so I thought it relevant to mention inflation in candy.
Yeah,
is about the highest of all the grocery items. Candy inflation in sweets is up 13.1%.
We actually aren't taking part in Halloween this year for the first time in a couple of years.
Oh,
candy was the price of candy was a small part of it, but in our neighborhood, you can't. They're not going door to door again like they did because of the pandemic.
Okay.
They're doing like put a table out and all kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
And so
okay,
yeah. So we're not doing that. Sugar beets.
It's you know, inflation usually, well, inflation occurs because there's too much money chasing too few goods. Mm. In some cases, it's because there's just too much money. So a lot of the inflation that we're suffering now is because the government pumped so much money into the economy during the pandemic that all of a sudden you've got this $3 or $4 trillion in the economy. And of course, supply hasn't changed. Right. In fact, we had some constraints on supply.
Yeah.
But when you have that much more money chasing essentially the same amount or fewer goods, that causes inflation. But as you just pointed out, that's not the reason for candy's inflation. Candy's inflation is due in large part because of the drought and how it affected sugar beets. So there's your trivia tip of the day.
That's right. I didn't realize how much sugar beets actually contributed to our sugar supply.
Yeah.
I always thought it was just sugar cane.
Just cane. And, yeah, right. Yeah. Sure.
Interesting. Learn something every day here at 30
that?
Minute Money.
You never know what you're going to learn on 30 Minute Money. you know, in a recession, things will continue to get less stable, but continue to be more expensive. And so all of that, you know, will, as the economic activity starts to decline, and we'll still have that inflation because the lag on that, we'll talk about this in a little bit. You know, it's going to be a situation where we still have inflation, but we just feel worse, and unemployment will be going up, and the stock market will still probably be going down. And so, when we get there, you know, it's not going to feel good, and that's why we want to know about that. Is because we don't want people's bad feeling to affect their financial plan too much. It's part of the cycle. We need to be able to, you know, we need to be flexible in coping with it. But it's important to know when it's coming because it's not here yet, and we'll probably feel a little bit worse when it does come.
So are we in hack? So are we in fact headed for a recession?
In fact, we are.
For sure.
It's very difficult to imagine a situation where we will not go into some kind of a recession for a few reasons. One is we talked about inflation, and one of the Federal Reserve's main jobs is to fight inflation. And when you fight inflation, you depress economic activity. That's just, that's one, it's a monetary policy thing, but the effect of it is to decrease economic activity. And then that's one of those hallmarks of recession. So since the Fed has so much work to do in terms of battling that inflation, you know, if we compare this to historic periods in the past, whenever they've had to do the kind of job they have to do now, every time it's resulted in a recession. It's difficult to imagine it wouldn't result in one this time. One of the other challenges that they have is the lag time. So when the Fed tries to do something about inflation, you feel like, well, they're going to do something and then we're going to see some results. It's not how it works. There's a really long lag time for a lot of these things. In fact, the effect on the economy has a long lag time too. Relatively recent studies have shown us that the peak impact of inflation on the economy may not show up for between 2 and 4 years.
Wow.
So the Fed might have been battling inflation since near the beginning of the year, but the effect on the economy of inflation, we may not see that for another year. So that's one of the chances. So, you know, everybody's feeling bad about the Fed trying to battle inflation, and they're going to battle it even if it increases unemployment. And at some point, it probably will. And there's going to be that time when they're really fighting inflation hard, causing higher unemployment, but we've still got inflation. So, you know, it's tough. It's a hard thing because that lead time is so long before you actually see the effects of it on the economy. Now, they have to clamp down on it because, as we were talking about, when we were talking about sugar beets, it's too much money chasing too few goods that's what causes inflation. And that's because the money supply is so much bigger than it was before. So when they pump those trillions of dollars into the economy, that's ultimately what really triggered this inflation. The challenge that we have is that as the Fed fights that, as I said, almost universally causes a recession. And what we're seeing is that the increase in the money supply during the pandemic was significant, and they've been able to really decrease the growth of the money supply. So right now, the increase in the money supply is ticking along at about 2.6%. So that's okay. That's much better than it was before. But if you subtract inflation from that, it means that we have a net minus 6% in the money supply. So the money supply after inflation has shrunk about 6%. That lines up perfectly with the setup of past recessions. So do I think a recession is coming? Yeah, because that the way they're fighting the inflation and the growth in the money supply after you factor that inflation in, right in line with prior recessions. So the pattern is shaping up just like it has in the past.
And how long do recessions usually last?
You know, I can tell you the long term, and I will tell you the long term in a minute. But I just wonder if things are changing, because it used to be that, you know, we'd have an expansion for a certain number of years and then we would have a recession. And typically the expansion would go on for 4, 5, 6 years, and then we'd have an 18-month recession. Recessions tend to be a lot shorter and a lot more dramatic than the growth. I'm still keeping my fingers crossed that it will be relatively brief. Again, it's only 8% of the time in our economic history are we in recession. So with any luck, it won't last all that long. You know, it might be a year, year and a half. I don't really know. I'm not a good predictor of that stuff, but it's a lot shorter than the growth periods.
And I'm sure that you're going to tell us what we can do in order to prepare for this.
I can. We have one or two more. One other thing I want to mention, because you know, you got your trivia fact in this episode with the sugar beet and the drought, and we're going to give you your cocktail party tip. The other thing that's setting us up for inflation is what interest rates are doing. And we're going to refer to something called the yield curve. The yield curve is a graph of the interest that government bonds pay based on the length of the term of the bond. So if I was going to borrow some money for you, Fitz, I'm a little short this month. You know, I'm hoping that you'll give me a little bit of a loan and I'll pay you back in 6 months. You're going to charge me some kind of an interest rate.
Right.
If I said, hey, Fitz, I need to borrow some money because I need to do something. It's going to take a while for me to earn the money back. So I'll give you the money back in 5 years. You're probably going to want to charge me more.
Yeah.
Because I'm tying up your money for more. So typically, the yield curve slopes up. So if you get a 1 year treasury or a 2 year treasury, it typically pays less than a 5 year or a 10 year or a 20 year treasury. But right now, short term treasuries are paying more than long term treasuries. So we say next time you go to a cocktail party, just say yield curve inversion. We have an inverted yield curve. And pretty reliably, when we have an inverted yield curve, that's another one of those signs that a recession is on the way. So let's talk about what you can do about it. That was a great big long setup for, you know, what's a recession? Why do we care? Do we think one is coming? Now we'll get to the part, you know, the part that people can actually use.
Yeah.
What can you do about it? So the first thing you want to do is take a look at your balance sheet, which is all your assets and liabilities. Mm-hmm. And if you've got short-term debts like credit cards and that kind of stuff, take a look and see what you can do to clean them up. Because when a recession comes, there may be some constraints put on your cash flow. And if you can get rid of some of those payments, you'll want to. But also a lot of those things can float. The interest rate can float. And so they're getting more expensive. So if you can clean off some of that debt off of your balance sheet, that's a good way to get prepared for recession. You'll have less money going out the door every month. You'll have a little bit more of a safety buffer. So first thing is to clean up some debt. Second thing is build your emergency fund. Everyone should have an emergency fund. The guideline for how much you should have depends on a lot of things about your particular financial situation. But if you say 2 to 6 months of expenses in a cash account that you can readily access, that's a good level to have as an emergency fund. But as we head into a recession, make sure that you've got that put away. Make sure that it's all set up. And you might even want to increase the size of it just a little bit in case anything bad happens. You want to make sure that you've got some money that you can use to do that and not necessarily have to dip into debt to be able to cover those unexpected expenses. You want to take a look at your cash flow. Take a look at how much money comes in every month and how much goes out every month. And reflect on the decisions that you make in terms of that money going out. I'm not saying that you should cut back on your spending. But what I am saying, and one of the things that we work with all of our clients on, is just getting comfortable knowing where all the money goes every month. Because that enables you to make choices. If you don't know where the money's going, you can't really make informed choices. You can say, well, I think we'll spend less money on groceries or on gas this month. But if you don't know, it's hit or miss, and often that doesn't work. But if you really know about how much money is going out to each of those categories every month, then you can make decisions if you need to. And so take a look at that cash flow and get reoriented to it. Because if something does turn down, if you do have some kind of a setback in your own household, it's useful to know up front, well, you know what? We know that we spend about this much eating out every month. We spend about this much going to movies or shows. Well, you know, we might just choose not to do that for a little while, or we might choose to scale that back just a little bit until we get through this. Mm-hmm. Knowing your cash flow is what enables you to do that. You can't make informed decisions without the data, so get the data.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that is probably one of the biggest challenges that I've had in my family with three teenagers, you know, is exactly. Knowing where that money's going.
Exactly. It's going right down their throats is where it's going. I was a teenage boy once. I remember that.
Oh, so true. Oh, so true.
I would go from eating everything in the refrigerator to eating the utensils. So I get that, right? Exactly. So you just want to know where it goes. So keep track of it. Keep track of it and categorize the things as they're going by. And then the final thing is not a cash flow thing. The final thing is a job thing. So it's a really tight job market. If you're out looking, this is a great time to be looking for a job because there are so many places that are really looking for employees and having a difficult time. But when we get into a recession, unemployment will go up. And I'm hoping that it's not you, but if you or your spouse is affected by this, you want to make sure you do everything you can to bounce back from that. So the other thing that I would suggest doing is keep your networking current. Keep in touch with other people in your industry. Make sure that everybody knows your name and you know what's going on in the industry and other companies and that kind of stuff. So if you needed to, you would have people to call if you needed to find a new career situation. So that's just a real easy, no-cost thing that you can do just to increase your job security, even if it's not at your current employer.
Yeah, and considering I am my own employer, that the talk of recession is scary.
Sure,
for those of us who own our own businesses.
It's, yep, exactly.
Thankfully, my wife's in healthcare, so there's always going to be healthcare.
That's right. We refer to that as inelasticity of demand. So
exactly what he said.
Exactly right.
So coming up, we're going to talk about Steve's 30-minute action list. We'll be right back.
Your retirement is at risk. Not from the stock market, not from inflation. Taxes are putting your retirement at risk. I'm certified financial planner Steve Wershing, and I specialize in helping people create low-tax retirements. Unmanaged taxes can take 30, 40, even 50% of your retirement income. Learn how to defend yourself against excess taxation. Our complimentary webinar will cover all the principles you need to know to protect your money for you and your family and keep it away from the government. This free webinar will cover how taxes are different in retirement, the taxes you pay in retirement that you don't have to pay during your working life, how to move savings into a tax-free environment, the widow's tax, the Secure Act, the Secure Act 2.0, and what they mean to you. The webinar is free, but you have to register to save your spot. So go to focusedwealthadvisors.com/webinars and find out more and sign up right there. Even if you're not planning to retire for the next 5 or 10 years, this information will be critical for you. The longer you have to put the strategies into effect, the more you can accomplish. That's focusedwealthadvisors.com/webinars to find out more and to sign up today.
And we're back with the 30 Minute Money Podcast. We're talking about what to do with the upcoming, possibly the upcoming recession. And Steve, you have your 30 minute action list.
Yep. 30 minute action list. Identify what debts you have and which ones are most expensive, so that you can work on them first, and decide which spending categories you can be flexible on. So know your cash flow and know if something happened that affected your income, you would know already. You would not have to decide which kinds of things you would decide to spend less on.
And I know I'm going to stop buying all those whatchamacallit bars that I buy every, you know, sugar beets.
Sugar beets.
Too much sugar beets.
This is the sugar beet episode. This is all about sugar beets.
Well, that's it for today. 30 Minute Money. You can find it at 30minute.money. And of course, the podcast is wherever you get your podcast. We will be back next time. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening. If you like the show, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or like the Stephen Wersing CFP Facebook page, and feel free to leave us a suggestion for what topics you would like to hear discussed on the show. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC, advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Focus Wealth Advisors and Cambridge are separate entities. Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions.